Sudan is in turmoil. Defiant protesters remain on the streets of the capital after the military seized power from the civilian government. Since the coup, several people have been killed and at least 140 injured in violent clashes between soldiers and demonstrators. Anne Soy is the BBC's Deputy Africa Editor and Senior Correspondent, and she joins me now from Nairobi. Welcome to Drive, and Anne, what is happening on the ground right now?
As you said, the protesters are defiant. They have vowed to stay on the streets and defy the state of emergency that was declared by the military. And they are calling for the return of civilian government. And they are being backed by, you know, their calls internationally from the United States. The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, has been very categorical that the civilian government must be restored without preconditions.
So what are the protesters calling for?
They want a return to civilian rule. The arrangement that has been there was a power-sharing deal between the military and civilians. They entered that deal in 2019 after the long-serving president, Omar al-Bashir, was toppled. He had been in power for 30 years during his time. Sudan had become a pariah state, cut off from international financial institutions, and Sudan was really in dire straits. And after months of protests led by the same pro-democracy groups that are on the streets now, he was toppled by the military. And the deal that was signed in 2019 was supposed to lead up to elections in 2023. And so the military was supposed to be in charge of the Sovereign Council, which is the ruling body, the equivalent of a head of state, for 21 months. That was due to end in November. And then they hand over to civilians for another 18 months before elections are held. That was the roadmap that was agreed in 2019 that was to lead to transform Sudan into a democratic country. But then the people are feeling it's a betrayal. It's a betrayal of their revolution by the military, and they want to return to what had been agreed.
Phone and internet communication has been disrupted in the African nation. Has it been difficult to get information out of Sudan?
It has, but the Sudanese have a big diaspora population that have their own ways of communicating with people on the ground, and also by the media that is there. So they have satellite communication, and so a lot of the information has been trickling out of Sudan. However, it's interesting to note that state media have been blocked since yesterday, since the coup, which is a classic sign of, you know, a coup. That's what the military do when they execute a coup. They took control of the media, arrested some of the staff. They made the announcement on state TV. And since then, the state TV has only been broadcasting patriotic songs, cultural songs, and just interrupting that to give the message from the military. State radio, we understand, has been off air. The website has not been updated for nearly 2 days now. Some of the privately owned media and websites have been, you know, starting to publish news from the country. But still, the situation is very tense. Phone lines have been blocked, and it is incredibly difficult to get information except through the few channels that are available.
And the Prime Minister, Abdalla Hamdok, has been arrested and taken to an undisclosed location. Is there any update on his well-being?
There hasn't been any update so far from the military. The information came from the Ministry of Information, which is loyal to him, that he was arrested by the military together with his wife, several cabinet members also, including even members of the Sovereign Council who are civilians. They were arrested. Their whereabouts are still unknown. But there have been calls internationally from the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, from Western governments. They have been calling for the release of these leaders. The African Union has called for dialogue with both parties. And so we wait to see what the military will do next.
In response, the US has suspended a big aid package to Sudan. What's the reaction to this?
Well, the people are worried, but they're worried more about, you know, what is happening in Sudan. The U.S. had promised $700 million in emergency support for Sudan. They were beginning to reopen the, you know, streams of financing, which had been blocked under the former president Omar al-Bashir. So they were, you know, it was hoped that this injection of funds from foreign governments, from international lenders, was going to help to resuscitate the economy. And now that is in doubt. But for the people in the streets, the more immediate concern for them is the return to constitutional order, because they see that as the only way that their dreams for having a democratic country can be realized.
Neither the military or the protesters appear to be backing down. Where does that leave Sudan now?
Well, it looks like the fate of Sudan will be decided on the streets. And there have been reports of confrontations between the forces and the people. The Ministry of Health, which is also loyal to the civilian leadership that was ousted, has announced that 7 people were killed, including a doctor who was shot in the head. More than 100 people have been injured in those confrontations. But the professional associations, including the medical associations, have been mobilizing their members, and they're saying they have to defy, they have to reject the coup. And so they are going to the streets. The doctors have announced a nationwide strike, except only for emergencies. They have asked their members to withdraw from all the military hospitals. This is how they agitated for the overthrow of the former president, Omar al-Bashir, and they believe this is how they will return to constitutional order. So we expect more street demonstrations. We expect the Sudanese to camp in the streets like they did in 2019 until their voices are heard.
Anne, thanks for your time. Anne Soy is the BBC's Deputy Africa Editor and Senior Correspondent based in Nairobi. This is Drive.